Greetings, pilgrims walking with Jesus. It's the month of May. We're in the Gospel of Mark. It's episode 18 of our month-long journey, and it's May 18th. See how all that fits together? It's time to get up and gather our stuff and get ready for another journey with Jesus. We've got the window open today. It's a nice, cool, spring-like day. It's beautiful out. We've got the thyme and myrrh candle going, and we've got today's tea, by the way, is the ginger and peach herbal tea from Bigelow. It's one of my favorites. Let me try it right now. Yeah, still steeping a little bit. Amen. Well, get your sandals on. I'm sure Jesus has a full day in store for us. Remember how we ended yesterday? Some Pharisees and Herodians challenged him about paying taxes, right? And he answered them with this lesson: give to the emperor the things that are the emperor's. I wonder what that would be. And to God the things that are God's. I think that's everything. And they were utterly amazed at him. So that's how we left yesterday. We're ready for another day. We've got another group of opponents coming to see Jesus right off the bat. The Sadducees are going to show up first. Now, the difference with the Sadducees is they are kind of arch rivals with Pharisees, in case you didn't know. They're all rivals of Jesus. But in particular, it's the Sadducees who don't believe in resurrection or an afterlife. And that's their big point, to be different from the Pharisees. That's their big conflict. But they both have trouble with Jesus, of course. And we're going to start on the road today, and we're going to encounter some Sadducees as we begin. So are you ready? It's chapter 12, verse 18. Chapter 12, verse 18. Let me get one more sip. And here we go. Some Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him and asked him a question, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving a wife but no child, the man shall marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. There were seven brothers. The first married, and when he died, left no children. And the second married the widow and died, leaving no children. And the third, likewise. None of the seven left children. Last of all, the woman herself died. In the resurrection, whose wife will she be? For the seven had married her." Jesus said to them, "Is not this the reason you are wrong? That you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God? For when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. And as for being raised, have you not read in the book of Moses, in the story about the bush, how God said to him, 'I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' He is God not of the dead, but of the living. You are quite wrong." One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that, he answered them well. He asked him this: "Which commandment is the first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength.' The second is this: 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' There is no other commandment greater than these." Then the scribe said to him, "You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and besides him there is no other. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, this is much more important than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. When Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." After that, no one dared to ask him any question. While Jesus was teaching in the temple, he said, "How can the scribes say that the Messiah is the son of David? David himself, by the Holy Spirit, declared, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet.' David himself calls him Lord. So how can he be his son?" And the large crowd was listening to him with delight. And that concludes our day with Jesus. Very interesting day today of Jesus giving us the contrast between the old and the new, the Old Testament, the Jewish way of life, and what he has brought to the world, and continuing to give us examples of teachings and using the heroes of the old Jewish religion in ways that were meant for their time and their place, but not for this time and place, not after what God has just done with the coming of Jesus Christ. So let's go through this again and clear our heads and clear our minds and open our hearts, and let's just let the words of today's journey settle on our hearts and just let God have the rest and see if God shows us what we might need to hear or need to see from this. All right. Some Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him and asked him a question, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving a wife but no child, the man shall marry the widow and raise up children for his brother." I'm going to intervene right here. So here we have the old, you know, trick of trying to figure out how things in the world could be like things in heaven or vice versa. And we kind of make up these hypothetical examples that stretch man's reason and logic beyond the ability to come up with the right answer, right, for heaven. There is no right answer for heaven. But trying to project that things in heaven are going to be just the same way they are as things in the world is incorrect. We know that. Heaven is going to be something we can't imagine. It's not going to be like our life on earth. It's going to be more, better, beyond, whatever that means. It's not something we can imagine it's going to be. It's not going to be like this world in our earthly form. We're going to be like angels, as Jesus said. So to begin to compare hypotheticals of here and there is just wrong. Because life won't be like that anymore. Anyway, we have the question, you know, about the man dying. The man shall marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. Now, that's part of Jewish law. And again, you can see they're citing. So another good example of Jesus using the great historical figures of the Jewish faith to show the Jews and everyone really that God is doing something brand new that's going to not supplant the old ways, but actually fulfill them. And so this is one example of how the law, quote unquote, gets fulfilled. And, you know, that question that they ask, that seven marriages, seven wives, who's he going to be married to in heaven? I get that question. I get like, who, if I've been married twice on earth, who am I going to be married to in heaven in that? And those questions just aren't, you know, relevant. And you don't know how to say it in a nice way, but we're going to be so far beyond that, you can't even imagine. So, Jesus said to them, is not the reason you are wrong that you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God? How would you like Jesus to say that to you? You know neither the scriptures nor the power of God. Interesting point. Another way to look at it is, you need to know both. The scriptures, they certainly knew the scriptures, and the power of God. they knew nothing of the power of God. For when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. They aren't angels in heaven. That's not what he's saying. They are like angels in heaven. And as for the dead being raised, have you not read in the book of Moses, in the story about the bush, how God said to him, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob? He is God not of the dead, but of the living. You are quite wrong. So even thinking about the God that will know and be in relationship with after this life is impossible for us because we can't even fathom the true nature of God in that realm. We continue with verse 28. One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that, he answered them well. He asked him, which commandment is the first of all? Jesus answered, the first is, and here what Jesus is going to say is kind of like the one traditional prayer poem that the Jews say even to this day. It's kind of like their Lord's Prayer. And here's how it goes. It's from the Old Testament. The first is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Now, notice that he said, the Lord is one. That's what's really revolutionary and radical about this new Jewish faith, that there aren't many gods, all kinds of different gods. There's one God, one true God, one creator God. But Jesus continues. The second, he wasn't asked for the second, remember. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. So he equates them as being equal in weight. Then the scribe said to him, you are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and besides him there is no other. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself. This is much more important than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. So here we have, right, a scribe coming up and affirming that indeed what God is really about, what God really wants from us, is to love God as the one true God and to love our neighbor as ourselves, which in fact both are written in the Old Testament. It's just the other 611 commandments get in the way of those and get emphasized over those. When Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. After that, no one dared to ask him any questions. Remember what he said to the first folks who asked him the question, the Sadducees, you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God. And for this scribe, he says, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And then verse 35, while Jesus was teaching in the temple, he said, how can the scribe say that the Messiah is the son of David? David himself, by the Holy Spirit, declared, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. David himself calls him Lord. So how can he be his son? And the large crowd was listening to him with delight. So we end, I guess, on a happy note today in our other walk with Jesus through the month of May. Isn't it interesting, the issues that are coming up as we get closer and closer to that time of Passover week in Jerusalem, when it all will come tumbling down in one good Friday night and all rise again by the Easter Sunday. Well, quite a day. We're dusting off, taking off our sandals and shaking them off, and Jesus is walking over right now, and he wants to end the day with a few words to me that are meant exactly for our hearts. Let's hear what he has to say. Come to me with your plans held in abeyance. Worship me in spirit and in truth, allowing my glory to permeate your entire being. Trust me enough to let me guide you through this day, accomplishing my purposes in my timing. Subordinate your myriad plans to my master plan. I am sovereign over every aspect of your life. The challenge continually before you is to trust me and search for my way through each day. Do not blindly follow your habitual route, or you will miss what I have prepared for you. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. What a beautiful way to end the day today. I hope your Monday is blessed for the remainder of this day, and we'll speak again tomorrow. And until then, may God have blessings on your life.